A reading from the conclusion of the first letter of St. John. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God, and everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. In this way, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. And the victory that conquers the world is our faith. Who indeed is the victor over the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water alone, but by water and blood. The Spirit is the one that testifies, and the Spirit is truth. So there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are of one accord. If we accept human testimony, the testimony of God is surely greater. Now the testimony of God is this, that he has testified on behalf of his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has this testimony within himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar by not believing the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever possesses the Son has life. Whoever does not possess the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you so that you may know that you have eternal life, you who believe in the name of the Son of God. And we have this confidence in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in regard to whatever we ask, we know that what we have asked him for is ours. If anyone sees his brother sinning, if the sin is not deadly, he should pray to God and he will give him life. This is only for those whose sin is not deadly. There is such a thing as deadly sin, about which I do not say that you should pray. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that is not deadly. We know that no one begotten by God sins, but the one begotten by God he protects, and the evil one cannot touch him. We know that we belong to God and the whole world is under the power of the evil one. We also know that the Son of God has come and has given us discernment to know the one who is true. And we are in the one who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Children, be on your guard against idols. The word of the Lord. What about the middle ground? In his Gospels and his letters, St. John is famous for having clear and stark dichotomies, things like light and dark, or good and evil, or other things where the person either believes or doesn't believe, either keeps the commandments or doesn't do so. It's almost as if he doesn't leave any room at all for the middle ground. And so when it comes to salvation, the person is either perfectly saved and lives in this way all throughout life after baptism, or isn't saved no matter what. Yet that sounds a bit like Calvinist double predestination, and it also seems to ignore the reality of post-baptismal conversions, which St. Augustine famously defended against Donatus. So what's going on in this chapter and really throughout much of John's writings? This isn't so much about where we are, but rather where we should be. John isn't ignorant of conversion away from sin and changes that can happen even after baptismal sin. Just think of how he recounted Peter's life. Peter is the head of the apostles, and he witnesses Jesus' private miracles. And yet, John recounts that Peter denies Jesus three times during the Passion. Still, after the resurrection, John describes Peter as the first one to enter the tomb. John even lets him go in first. Peter's the one who is restored by this triple confession of love. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Peter is the one who accompanies Jesus along with a beloved disciple in the last chapter. It's clear in John's gospel where he uses the similar method of dichotomies that he used in this letter. And yet John still acknowledges that post-conversion reversion is possible. So there must be something else going on here. Again, it isn't so much about where we are, but rather where we should be. We should imitate Peter's refound faith. We should process through questions in life like the doubting Thomas. We should make a profession of love to the Lord again and again, like Peter. And we should strive to believe in the Son of God, to possess the Son of God, to avoid deadly sin, and to belong wholly to God, as John tells us in this chapter. The challenge is that we have all been affected by original sin, and the ability to live in these ways is something that actually grows over time. We don't start with perfect faith. We have the sacrament of confession to bring us back after deadly sin. We grow in belonging to God more and more through life. The ability to live in these ways is something that grows. Virtues don't normally happen all at once. Sure, at baptism, God does infuse faith, hope, and charity, and he can infuse an increase of any virtues into us at any point in our lives. But normally, this is not how God works. Normally, God desires that we actively cooperate with his grace to cultivate virtue in our lives, to cultivate a life of holiness by increasing union with him. And so these things take time to build up. And more that we grow closer to the Lord, the more and more that we live in the light, the more that what John tells us in this chapter will truly become a reality in our lives. And we will actually be able to have a deep and rich faith, to avoid mortal sin, to belong wholly to God, and as a result, to possess him for all eternity. And in this light, it's so important to pray for an increase in faith, hope, and charity. These three virtues help to bring all of this about. They strengthen us to reject the temptations of the world and the power of the evil one, so that ultimately we can be victorious over the world through believing in God, hoping in God, and loving God. Faith, hope, and charity, these three are the best means to respond to God's invitation and to live in a whole new way. Lord Jesus, you who are the Son of God and are also our brother, we come to adore you present before us in this most blessed sacrament. Please grant us an increase in faith, hope, and charity, and the graces we need to cooperate with you, to continue cultivating these virtues all throughout our lives, so that having been transformed by your grace, we may not only turn away from all that would separate us from you, but also will live in union with you in this life, so that one day we may have eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.